Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
All right, here we go. Episode 74. Coming to you from a different place here in the insane asylum. Our cell, the insane asylum, as we call it, the makeshift studio is, it's hotter than fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost to the point of unbearable. The white coats are taking their sweet time trying to get this resolved, so they were gracious enough to take and let us come down to the rec room.
Yep.
We're in the rec room. coming to you this week, episode 74. We're going to talk a little bit about some, and you got to use air quotes when you say this.
What?
Real life exorcisms.
Oh.
You have to.
That's true.
For those who are new to this podcast, I'm Otis B. Dreads. With me, as always, Mrs. Dreads. I think I've already know how you're doing.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Right. Very hot.
You had the day off, though.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
I got some stuff taken care of.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations.
Yeah. It happens.
It does. So we're going to talk some exorcists. Supposedly real life cases. We're going to talk two probably the more notable ones, the ones that if anybody has ever really looked into, quote unquote real life exorcisms, they probably run across these two. One of them being Annalise, was it Mitchell?
I think it's Mitchell.
Mitchell, whatever.
She's German.
She's German, and we are not. So, she's going to be one we're going to talk about. And as some of you may know, that is what her story is. What they base the exorcism of Emily Rose off of. Which was actually a pretty decent movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And I'm not really big into, demonic possession type movies. Because they all are the same. They all are the same.
Yeah.
It seems to me. Maybe different effects. Maybe one's creepier than the other. But to me, they're just really all the same. That one kind of stands out in my mind. That's a good one. We're going to talk about another one. Roland...
Bobby or whatever,
or yeah, he goes by a couple of different names. Mm-hmm. This is what the infamous the famous exorcist, the original 1973 classic, the one that had people running out of the theaters, throwing up, crying, and then couldn't wait to get back in their seat to continue watching. Catholic churches, we're getting after the first showing of this movie when it opened. I think it was right around Christmas, wasn't it? 1973.
Yeah, I think so.
It opened in maybe certain theaters. I don't know if it was nationwide that they did that, but the Catholic Church is getting all of these. I think they got 47 or something. Requests to exercise. Mm-hmm. Some being their husbands. Some being, pets. Will you come over and exercise my dog? What the fuck? So.
Maybe it's just your dog's just an asshole.
Right. Maybe it is. And so we're going to talk about those two. But first, we got a couple news stories. A couple articles that I wanted to bring up.
Right.
Not nearly as terrifying as last week's flying fucking snakes article that we went.
Right. You
know. But this one, first off, not really, you know, scary. The master of horror himself, Mr. John Carpenter. This comes from bloodydisgusting.com. He has come out in social media and has stated that what we all thought was going to happen, that being the next two Halloween movies, one being Halloween Kills, which was slated at first to come out this October. And then I guess the final nail in the Halloween coffin,
yeah,
you know,
maybe.
Yeah, and appropriately named Halloween Ends was slated to come out next October. So we're getting two new Halloween movies, one right after, you know, another one year, one the other year, the next year. That is not happening quite that way. He has announced that Halloween Kills is no longer releasing this Halloween season. It is the sequel to the 2018, the latest Halloween that came out. And this new one, Halloween Kills, is slated now to come out October 15th, 2021. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I am too.
I was kind of looking forward to a new Halloween movie this Halloween season.
Yep.
What he says in an official statement, he says if we release it in October of this year as planned, we have to face the reality that the film would be consumed in a compromised theatrical experience. After weighing our options, we have chosen to push the film's theatrical release by 1 year. So you can go over to our Facebook page. I posted this article over there earlier. Or just go to bloodydisgusting.com.
Yeah, so now Halloween Ends won't be out until 2022.
Assuming, yeah.
It says it right there.
Yeah, Halloween Ends will now release on October 14th, 2022. You know, like it says it right there, right? I mean, well, I'm not guessing. Oh my goodness. All right. Now, to kind of, I thought this next article was a kind of a good segue into what we're going to be talking about, that being demons.
I love the requests.
Huh?
I love the request.
Oh, I know. Headline from mirror.co.uk. Toddler claims spooky lady visits him in bed every night and makes special requests.
Specific
requests. They're special.
Yeah, they are special.
All right. Could have gone either way. You got to call me out every time. You can let it slide. a young boy is afraid now to go to bed as he claims a spooky lady visits him every night. And it's now creeping all of his relatives out. Okay, let us read on. Let us read on.
I mean, it ain't... Okay, go ahead.
I mean the boy, he's a toddler.
Yeah.
Okay. The young boy claims he's been seeing a strange lady in his room each night. She makes a rather bizarre request. The child's grandma is so concerned about the tales of the ghostly figure that she's even written into an advice column. God, I'm having all kinds of trouble tonight. What is in this coffee? My goodness. Advice column for some help on what to do next. So she wrote Slate.com's Dear Care and Feeding, titled... I guess that's the name, like a Dear Abby. But
oh, wow.
Dear Care and Feeding. I don't know. Title, My Grandson is Visited by a Spooky Lady Every Night. The unnamed woman explained all, and we have to admit, the whole thing does sound something like from a scary movie.
Oh, my jeez.
I know it. She writes, my 2.5-year-old grandson has been having a recurring nightmare for the past week and a half. And he wakes up very upset, saying there's a lady in his room. When asked if she talks to him and why he thinks she is there, he says that she has to get something from his room. And she wants to put something on his foot. So she doesn't seem like she's are you a good witch or a bad witch?
And like she's threatening to kill him, right? Or telling him that he needs to kill his family. Unless
what she wants to put on his foot is like a fucking axe or something.
It could be.
You know, that may be a little malevolent. He's afraid to go to bed. My daughter, this is the grandma, my daughter is in the process of potty training him. And he also has a new sister, 4 weeks old. I know that these life changes can cause children to have nightmares, and I understand that imagination is vivid at this age. However, this just seems so specific and kind of creepy.
Oh, my jeez.
And they're at a loss right now on how to handle the situation. I thought that was kind of funny, though.
That is funny.
It is kind of a good segue, as we're going to be talking about Satans and demons.
Yep.
Possessing people. Maybe, you know, not in the way, not just like standing in the room. We're talking about, you know, overachieving demons.
Yep.
And we're going to do that right after this little message from a group that we support highly. And while we are going into this little break, let me remind everyone that you can check out this podcast and all of our other podcasts over at nightoftheLivingDreads.com, Dreads with no A. You can also check us out on Spotify, on Stitcher, over there on Facebook, as I mentioned.
Yep.
Is where all the podcasts will be. And don't forget to check out our dear friend, Jill of the Clown, a.k.a. Don Skirl. Or Don's Girl, a.k.a. Chill of the Clown. Over there, Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. But here's another, here's some other people that we take and support.
Yep.
Being True Crime 7, I'm drinking my coffee out of my Don't Trust Hippies Charles Manson cup as we speak. So with that being said, we'll be right back right after this. If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. Try TrueCrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up, 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get T-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows. And if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to TrueCrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered. That's right. Don't get fucking murdered.
Try not to.
You don't try not to. It's something that I, it's one of my goals every day. and I get murdered. That's right. TrueCrime7.com and TrueCrime7.store.
Yeah.
That is an older ad that I obviously did for them. They also have a .com now, so you know, and not just a dot store. So we've gotten serial killer coloring books. We got one from them. Mm-hmm. Our good friends Van and Trisha over there at Misfit Horror Fiend Club. They out of the blue sent us a serial killer coloring mm-hmm. book when all this quarantine shit started. Not knowing if we were going to have to self-quarantine, giving us some activities.
Yep.
It was very nice of them. All right, let's talk about this. Anna Elizabeth, or otherwise known as, probably more popularly known as, Annalise Mitchell. Right? Isn't that what we agreed on? That's what
yeah.
it was, Mitchell? Okay. She was a German woman who... back in when exactly did that start? The old exorcising of Annalise. When did that start? What's
September
your...
of 1968.
1968. Okay, I thought it was, you know, kind of
16.
Wow. You see, a German woman undergoes, you know, these Catholic exorcism rites, and ends up dying. Out of this. I mean, it was almost kind of like a murder mystery kind of deal. It's almost like a true crime. Not really. I mean, it's good talking point. You know, as to how she died. But born in September, the 21st of September 1952. And as I mentioned, she passed away due to malnutrition, they say. July 1st.
Starvation.
Yep. 1976. Where do we start with this? I mean, because it wasn't really anything in her childhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of, you know, she was brought up Catholic.
Very strict family.
Very, yeah. She had a couple sisters and a brother, or just two sisters, or
I think it was two sisters and a brother.
Okay. And as we mentioned, it was, you know, her story was kind of used as a little bit of inspiration for the 2005 film, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, was loosely based on the actual Annalise and that actual exorcism. So,
right.
I, right from the get-go, am just going to say, like Ghost, I'm calling a lot of bullshit with all this, and I've said that in our talks about, you know, this particular topic, just sitting around shooting the shit. Yeah, you haven't really come right out and you know, told me what you think. You know, I call bullshit. You see the eye rolls, and every once in a while, I'll see your eyes roll when we're watching a story, as we were earlier. So why don't you go ahead and jump into Annalise wherever you want to, because I'm kind of curious on how you, I want to get right to her, you know, fucking you dots.
I don't know.
Are you on the fence?
Kind of.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know, because both cases that we're talking about, like mental illness comes into play, and mm-hmm. it holds a good point. And when it talks about certain things that could be wrong with somebody.
Sure.
That would cause them to have the same reaction on what a possession would have.
Right. And one of those, you know, being a frontal cerebral epilepsy. Yeah, seizures in the frontal lobe mm-hmm. can cause hallucinations, can cause people to just, you know, go on these religious rants, see right. Jesus, see the devil. They can get very angry. They can possess, you know, new strength they normally wouldn't have, all because of the seizure. If anybody, you know, knows anybody that has seizures, they become very strong.
Yeah.
You're not really going to hold one down too well, depending on the type of seizure. Now, the type of seizures that has been associated with what some say, you're not possessed by the fucking devil.
Right.
You have a medical disorder. You have a neurological disorder.
Right.
But, you know, religion 9 times out of 10 wins out. Go ahead.
And who's to say, not because of some of that she didn't have some mental issues going on there.
Sure.
And a lot of this involved her doing it to herself.
Right. Yeah. And that's almost how it you know, kind of ended up.
Right.
In my opinion, it was almost, you know, like a slow suicide. Just brought about by some kind of religious, you know, fever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's strange. Anyway, you had mentioned 16 years old, mm-hmm. had her first little episode. Now, when we talk about what are we talking about here? Episode, what? Like,
no.
She started talking yet? What was she doing?
No, she just got the sensation of being pressed down on the chest. And
she in bed
pinned,
or
and
what?
Pinned down on her bed.
Oh, she was in her
yeah.
bed. That almost sounds like what some people describe when they have sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
You have the incubus and the succubus, and they sit on your chest and makes it hard for you to breathe. You feel paralyzed. You feel awake. You know, so I'm already explaining some of this bullshit away. Go take. I don't know how many of these episodes that you had, because it doesn't take long before the more notable episodes. It doesn't take a whole lot before
right.
things
well,
really blow up.
In August of 1969, she has one of the same similar incidents, but then she gets taken to the doctor, which is Dr. Volt and Dr. Luthy. Dr. Volt was her family doctor, and then Dr. Luthy is
that was the
neurologist.
Shrink, right? Oh, the neurologist.
And they did brain scans and found everything to be normal.
EEG, is that what it is? EEG or
yeah.
EKG?
EEG.
Yeah.
And EKG's your heart.
Yeah, and everything was fine.
Right.
No abnormalities there. They didn't find anything that they could, you know, attribute to, you know, maybe seizures, you know? I mean, they didn't find anything out of whack. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else?
And then after her third episode, they prescribed her anticonvulsant because they were diagnosing it as epileptic seizures.
Okay.
And then episode four, they had...
They gave her some more drugs, too, yeah, right after that.
Yeah, they gave her an actual anti-seizure medication. They gave her Dilantin.
Yeah.
And,
How'd that work out?
Well, they said that at that time they had taken another brain scan and they saw some minor irregularities in her brain scan this time.
Well, you know, I think that really bad seizures, you know, if, you know, having multiple seizures like she could have been having,
mm-hmm.
that can do permanent damage.
Right.
You know, they can see that shit.
Right. And then in the spring of 1963, that's when she started hearing the knocking sounds.
Oh, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, and they said that her sisters heard them also.
Right.
And then that's when she started claiming that she was hearing voices, and then she felt that she had demons inside her head.
It's the demons.
Oh, and damning her to hell.
Damning her to hell. Why? Why her? And here's the thing is, you know, they didn't, you know, this particular type of Catholicism, they didn't even believe in the fucking devil.
Right.
Her family didn't. None of them. They did not believe in the devil.
But they were highly religious.
They were highly religious. Now, all of a sudden, they have, you know, she's maybe having these seizures. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, all right, we don't know what this is. We're highly religious.
Right.
So we're just going to say you're possessed by the fucking devil.
Right.
But yet they went the right route. So, you know, I mean, they went the right route as far as they sought out a neurologist. Mm-hmm. I mean, they covered
the base.
They
started doing things the right way.
Right. And then it got weird.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, then her parents had claimed to come home one night and found
Sorry.
Her staring at a Virgin Mary and that her eyes had turned black and that her hand were with thick paws with claws.
Oh, my God. She got the bear claw.
Something.
So she's staring at it, and you say a statue or a picture?
A picture of the Virgin Mary.
A picture of the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes are completely black, and she has her hands. I think they said like bear mint. Like they swelled up, and they were like claws, like bear claws, and she's just staring at the Virgin Mary with her fucking bear claws, paws. Oh, good Lord.
So in September of 1973, she visited Dr. Luthy again. He's a neuro. He's a neurologist.
Okay.
And she explained to him that she was that she had the devil inside her.
And I got these fucking bear claw hands.
She was seeing demon faces and smelling burnt feces.
All right. Excuse me. You know, it's already getting absolutely ridiculous. So far, let's just stop you here because it's starting to get good. And there's not too many more of these episodes that actually happen before things just, you know, go awry.
Right.
What do you think so far? As far as you're being on the fence, all right, we got the black eyes staring at the Virgin Mary. Okay, she's having things that resemble possibly seizures. She's blacking out. Maybe there's a neurological issue. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe there's one that even a fucking neurologist missed. Yeah. They're just people, you know?
Right.
You would think they'd be a little more detail-oriented. Here we go. You hear the motorcycles outside the rec room.
I was wondering what the hell that was.
That's what that was. I mean, where are you at now? Are you still right there on the fence? Or are you starting to slide the other way? Like off to the dark side, to my side?
Jesus. Nah, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll continue. And we'll see where we are at the end of this story.
So then they say that Dr. Luthy, after she told him all this, advised her to go see a Jesuit.
Okay.
Jesuit
priest.
Right. So, in November of 1973, Father Ott had spoken with the doctor again, and they said that they thought that there was a possibility that she was neurotic and epileptic.
You think?
And then for her epileptic patterns, because they did say she had epileptic patterns, they decided to prescribe her Tegretol.
Okay, that which is one of the stronger, like you know, seizure, epileptic medication, whatever. Yeah. Pretty strong,
right? And then in July of 1975, it's when things really started getting weird.
Uh oh. What do you mean?
That's just when to get weird. She started eating spiders.
That's right, and spiders flies, and flies.
And was licking her own urine.
Yeah, drinking her own piss, yep. Washing down the spiders and flies. Yeah. Is she talking and all the? Because I get.
I don't think so yet.
Not yet. Okay, because when we get to that, I got a clip that that goes through the six demons that she said were possessing her at different times.
Right.
And of course, yes, she's speaking in German, okay, because that's her native tongue, but it's interesting to listen to. So.
You hear the funny thing? That kind of throws you off during the movie.
What's that?
Because during the movie, when they're doing the exorcism and all the voices come into play, they're speaking in a different language.
Is she talking in
German?
Emily Rose?
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and watch it. It's been a while since.
But I mean, is Annalise talking in German?
I think she's still talking her native tongue.
That's what I'm saying, because the first one to come through is Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of them's Hitler.
And he's German.
One of them's Judas.
Yeah.
You know? Nero. You had
Lucifer.
Lucifer. There's another one, too. I can't remember.
Right.
But, we'll I don't know. I just think it's
right.
all kind of bullshit, anyway.
So then the follower has him. Gets in contact with Father Rodwick.
Okay.
Which in turn gives them contact with Dr. Renz, which is an exorcist.
So, and they got to go through this whole big ordeal to get one of these fucking things.
They have to get permission because it's not looked upon.
Right.
It's kind of like a back alley thing that they're doing.
Yeah. Back alley abortion.
Yeah. Back alley exorcism.
Right.
Go knock on somebody's door.
Using fucking coat hangers.
Right. So that's when the actual exorcism started.
That's when it started. Okay.
Yes.
Not long after they got approved. Bam! Right. They're right in there.
So in May, May's when she starts banging her head, biting, and that's when she really started to refuse to eat, saying that she was not permitted to eat
because they would bless her food. right? What wouldn't they? I heard stories that they would bless her food, and when they did that, you know, she would not eat. There were times where, you know, she would eat,
right?
And but I don't know how she would know, but they would just sprinkle some fucking holy water on her food, and she would refuse to fucking eat, right, saying that she wasn't allowed to.
Right, that they wouldn't permit her to eat.
Right.
But if you wanted to play your clip.
Okay, all right. Yeah, let's... now, this is, again, this is all in German, so... But you'll get the idea. This is, first off, this is... Annalise, this is normal, her normal speaking voice. Here we go. It's coming. I promise.
After, maybe.
There we go.
Oh, dass die sind so schlimm, die sind so grausam, so...
That's normal, nee. Annalise.
Das denkt man leiden, das ist so, so leicht zu sagen, aber wenn es dann wirklich schlimm wird, da will man überhaupt nicht mehr, da will mein Kind schlimm.
Now this... is when all the other six demons come in.
Mm-hmm.
Possessor. This is Hitler. That was funny. I mean, some of this shit is comical. Okay, so we got Hitler going on here.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's Cain. I'm assuming Cain and Abel from the Bible.
Probably.
That story. Okay. Now, I love this voice. I like Cain. He's like, ah, this is great. What in the bloody fucking hell?
I just feel like I'm getting possessed listening to
him. I know. It sounds like me after a heavy night of drinking.
That's all right.
Actually, it sounds like me on the night of drinking.
That's even all right, more accurate.
Here's Nero.
Nero!
Did he say, look it, I got a heart on? I mean, because... All right, I don't understand German.
No, no, no.
All right, then. Fleischman.
I didn't even know who that was.
Are they talking about Ari Fleischman? I mean, I don't know. I don't know who this Fleischman guy is.
He was an archangel.
Oh,
who got,
that's right.
Burst up because he was doing bad things.
Oh. Yeah, bro. There we go. Here's Fleischman. I've heard this song. Good Lord. What the fuck are we listening to? I mean, there's only a couple more left. We got Judas coming up, and Lucifer does sound like a really, you know, heavy fucking band.
what this got me thinking about is that episode of That 70s Show.
Here we go.
Where Fez's house family don't want him listening to the album.
Oh yeah, right.
And turned against something front. No, I'm wrong.
You are.
I am so wrong. I'm thinking of the Burbs.
The Burbs.
Freddy is the devil.
Oh. Yep, yep, Freddy is the devil. Freddy is a devil. Oh, that's funny shit. All right, here's Judas. Come on, Judas.
Die, die müssen in eigenen Seminaren ausgebildet werden, die dürfen nicht auf die anderen Universitäten. Kapiert?
There it almost sounded like she said, Capiche? I know that's not fucking German. Can you imagine? You're sitting there, you're talking with someone, and they're doing that in your face. I mean, talking like this. Wouldn't you just want to reach out and throw punch them? Yes. You don't want to say a fucking prayer. It's like, dude, you are screaming in my face at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the best one. I know you guys have probably heard of this band. It's called Lucifer. lead vocals done by Annalise. Here we go. Pop right in the fucking throat.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, are you really screaming at me? You best slow your fucking roll there, Annalise. I don't give a shit who's inside of you. I'm gonna whip that fucking physical ass right now. Settle down, weirdo. Indoor voice. Sounds like she's trying to take a shit.
Yeah.
He's really she's constipated. Nine, nine, nine. Good Lord. Now, this is Lucifer. God damn. I literally always thought Lucifer would be a little more well spoken than that.
Yeah.
And not scream so much. I thought he was kind of supposed to be a charmer.
I thought so too.
You know, where he charmed people.
He wants his side.
Yeah, so he's not going to like all in your fucking face like that.
I would sure hope not.
I mean, all right. Let's continue on with Annalise. What else we got? Because we got some really weird shit going on. It's almost hit to a heightened level, a peak,
yeah.
if you will, in her
yeah.
behavior.
Hold on, I lost my voice.
Oh, my goodness.
On June 30th, they had another exorcism.
Okay.
That's when she had refused medical attention. And, she had begged a friend of hers,
right.
Thea Hine. She got down on her knees and begged her for her not to get medical attention.
Right, yeah. Don't get me any doctors or nothing. I'm fine. Because she kind of thought, what was it? Her and was it a cousin, a friend? It was a guy. And they're walking through the woods. A friend. And
yeah.
They're walking through the woods, and she all of a sudden just, you know, started walking in another direction, almost like, you know, her friend said that, you know, he said that it looked like she was kind of in a trance.
Right.
And she's just off walking. Well, her story was she was walking with the Virgin Mary. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
She was walking with Mary, and Mary was telling her that she pretty much had to be like Jesus, and she had to die pretty much for people's fucking sins so they wouldn't go to hell.
Right.
So that is kind of where she, her religious beliefs and this hallucinations and insanity, in my opinion, led her to pretty much slow suicide and
yeah.
starve herself to death because
yeah.
she had to do this. And then on top of that, she's fucking screaming at you.
Right. Because, yeah, on June 30th, that's when she really, I mean, that's when it was discussed that she was refusing medical attention.
Right.
She had to have 67 exorcisms.
I mean, imagine we're big fans of BuzzFeed Unsolved, you know, with Ryan and Shane. Uh-huh. And then they did a little 20-minute video, whatever they do, you know, and talking about this story. And, you know, I think it was Shane that said, you know, no matter how right you are in your mind, 67 in these fucking things. You know, a lot of times they were day after day after day, right. You know, of just all of this right in your fucking face, all of these ritualistic fucking things that they're doing.
Right.
You know, that's gotta do something. You know, that's really gotta fuck you up a little bit.
Yeah.
I would think. It'd fuck me up. It'd fuck me up listening to them pee and listening to her scream at me.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling right.
So July 1st is when she finally passed away. She was 23 years old, and she died of starvation.
23 years old.
Yeah, she weighed 68 pounds.
Good night.
When she died.
23 years old. That's sad. All right, so her story. Her story. What do you think? You still on the fucking fence? What do you think?
I'm
this?
I'm swaying a little more towards it not being true, but then again, I don't know. There's just some weird things that happen that you still have to question.
Well, yeah, and you know what? With me, it's more so with this story, with the story of Annalise, than it is this next story we're going to talk about. Of course, everybody loves The Exorcist. I really don't know anybody who does, you know, who is a horror fan or likes horror. That doesn't like The Exorcist.
Right.
That movie did not creep them out at some point. Because it was creepy. Linda Blair, awesome fucking job. But this movie, it did something to fucking people.
Right.
I think, you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, that people were running out of the theaters, throwing up, crying, can't talk about it.
We figure for 1973, it was considered a horror. It was considered scary.
To the point, and again, we mentioned, you know, Catholic Church getting hit up that, you know, I need an exorcism on my dog. Fucking Fluffy's barking weird. Woof. You woof. I mean, what is Fluffy doing?
Sounds like a hairball.
It does, you know. you just have so much fun with this topic. But this movie just didn't come out strictly out of, you know, the mind. For the most part, it did of Mr. William Peter Blatty. Is the novel that he wrote is what it was, you know, kind of based on. But his novel came actually from a story of Roland Doe going back to the 1940s.
Yeah. In Maryland.
In Maryland, nonetheless, yeah. And this is the story of a young boy who also, I think, was, you know, raised in kind of a...
it was just his mom, remember? His dad left.
Yeah, his dad, they say, was, like, pretty much mentally not there.
Yeah, even non-existent.
Non-existent mentally, yeah. A 14-year-old boy, also known as Roland Doe, and also known as Robbie Mannheim.
Yeah, because they don't put out his true identity.
No, they don't. I think it was that he asked, or his mom back then asked, that his name never be, you know, real name. Maybe it was him as he got older. I don't know.
Or tell him.
He was an alleged victim of demonic possession. and the events were recorded by the attending priest, Raymond J. Bishop. Subsequent supernatural claims surrounding the events were used as elements in William Peter Blatty's novel, The Exorcist, which he wrote in 1971. This story is interesting to me because there's not really a lot that we can say, okay, yes, this is factual. That there's not really a whole lot going on, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot of evidence really to prove really anything.
Right.
William Peter Blatty, he tried to, have a conversation with one of the attending priests.
Yep, they refused.
The one bishop or Raymond J. Bishop, I think. Yeah, that was him. Wasn't it? Yeah. they, you know, he wouldn't talk about it. Right. It was just something like just it was kind of odd to me, because something that bad, if it was true, and it wasn't just this 13, 14-year-old boy just being mischievous or having some mental issues. Now is where we can really get into the mental health aspect of it, and also possibly seizures also too. Now let's start. Okay, not a whole lot of problems with, you know, he was also known as R.
Right.
We'll call him R.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now... R, they said, you know, would play, you know, they'd play games with the mother and father. I think they said, you know, the mother was a little bit, you know, overbearing.
Right.
And a little bit, you know, dominating of his life in general. She, but she was, you know, a big part of his life. And for some reason, they had a fucking Ouija board.
Right. From his aunt.
From his aunt. Now, his aunt was said to be a little overbearing, too, when it came to him.
Yeah, but...
But R loved his aunt.
Yeah.
That was like a rock for him.
Right.
Is at least what I'm getting out of it. And
he spent a lot of time with her.
A lot of time. Absolutely. Almost, like, loved his aunt more than he did his own mom.
Probably because they said that they didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him.
Yeah, true. So his aunt breaks out a Ouija board, mm-hmm. because R, he actually showed some interest in it. He was right. intrigued by this. And so.
Then she passed.
Aunt Tilly, is that what they said her name was? Aunt Tilly? I can't remember. Anyway, she ends up passing.
Yep.
And that was.
Aunt Harriet.
Aunt Harriet? Is that yep. where? Oh, where do you see that at? Ah, there it is, Aunt Harriet. Yep, she was a spiritualist, and when she passed, because they were messing with mm-hmm. it one night, and when she passed, you can imagine what that you know, a young boy's kind of struggling. He just hit his teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's kind of like. His mom's overbearing, so other kids may call him a mama's boy. Actually, you know, they said an alleged childhood friend said that he was a mean little bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his words. You know, yeah, no, he was a mean little bastard.
Yep.
He said he had a dog that wasn't trained very well. He was actually pretty aggressive towards other kids. He'd sick that fucking dog on people, on his friends. So he was... It's probably safe to say that he had some pent up anger.
Yeah, just a little bit
going on there.
Plus, then his aunt dies,
and then his aunt dies. So he loses probably a big rock in his life mm-hmm. at that point. Then after that, things start going bad.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, he's hearing this. He's fucking.
He never talks in tongue though.
No.
That's what. It...
Exactly. There wasn't a whole lot that I got out. I mean, I haven't listened to some of the recordings. They say that all, you know, the because he was taken to a hospital in St. Louis mm-hmm. in the latter part of this.
Right.
And that's where they did the exorcisms, a lot of the exorcisms mm-hmm. there. I think he went through about 30-some. I'm not sure right offhand. We'll get to that. I don't know. I'm gonna have to look that up. It's never portrayed that he's speaking right. all kind of, you know, yeah, you know, Freddy is a devil. here's what, and you know, sometimes, you know, I'll take some information off of Wikipedia. You have to take it with a grain of salt. Well, this is one of them cases where you could really use Wikipedia. It's probably pretty factual. Because there's not a whole lot that we do know that is factual about this particular right. case, because there's been a lot of deception that we'll also get to. But according to Wiki, under exorcisms, says, according to Thomas B. Allen, after Aunt Harriet's death, the family experienced strange noises, furniture moving on its own, And ordinary objects, objects such as vases, flying or levitating when the boy was nearby.
Yep.
Okay. The first bullshit I came across. the family turned to their Lutheran pastor, Luther Miles Schultz, for help. Long interested in parapsychology, Schultz arranged for the boy to spend a night in his home in order to observe him.
Mm-hmm.
When parapsychologist J.B. Ryan learned that Schultz claimed he witnessed household objects and furniture seemingly moving by themselves, Ryan wondered if Schultz unconsciously exaggerated some of the facts. You think?
Just a little bit.
Schultz advised the boy's parents to see a Catholic priest. I think we need to look more into this this Schultz guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pastor. He doesn't, you know, apparently, you know, come on. Everything. You know, you're a pastor.
Okay? Right.
Your whole life is surrounded by
the
church. When you come across something you can't explain, it's either, you know, God did it or it's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually, it's, you know, there's no gray area like, oh, well, he you know, the kid could be nuts.
Yeah.
The kid could be, he could be a troubled young teen.
But it's like we've talked about before, it could be the fact of that he decided to play a trick and it ended up going too far.
Yes.
And he had to keep
going
along with it.
Right.
So he didn't look like such an ass.
But you look like an ass anyway. But, yeah, so according to the traditional story, the boy then, see, the traditional story, there's so many stories to this. The boy then underwent a number of exorcisms.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Hughes, a Roman Catholic priest, conducted an exorcism on Roland at Georgetown University Hospital, a Jesuit institution. That's
of course.
That's in Maryland, right. During the exorcism, the boy allegedly slipped one of his hands out of his restraints, broke a bed string from under the mattress, and used it as an impromptu weapon, slashing the priest's arm and resulting in the exorcism ritual being halted. And they said that we were just watching a lecture from a priest from the he was a one of the, you know, like chaplains in these, you know, Jesuit type hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the hospital, the Alexian Brothers Hospital in South St. Louis, Missouri. And he was talking about this particular incident, and apparently he had to get like 23 fucking stitches going down his arm. After that, that priest was like, I think we're going to cut this out right now. And the family, that's when they traveled to St. Louis, and where Roland's cousin contacted one of his professors at St. Louis University. That would be Bishop, who in turn spoke to William S. Bowdern. an associate of College Church. Together, both priests visited Roland in his relatives' homes, where they allegedly observed a shaking bed, flying objects, the boy speaking in a guttural,
mm-hmm.
guttural voice.
Guttural.
I've never heard that.
You never heard of a guttural voice?
No, what is that, like,
yeah.
That's what that is?
Yeah, speaking really? A lot in your throat.
Oh, okay. And exhibiting an aversion to anything sacred. Bowdern was granted permission from the Archbishop to perform another exorcism. And the exorcism then in turn took place at that hospital that I mentioned, the Alexian Brothers Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Before the next exorcism ritual began, another priest, Walter Halloran, was called to the psychiatric wing of the hospital where he was asked to assist Bowdern. William Van Rue, a third Jesuit priest, was also there to assist. Halloran stated that during this scene, words such as evil and hell, along with other various marks, appeared on the teenager's body. Appeared. Just boop.
Right.
Appeared. Going back to the seizures that we were talking about, that's, you know, your frontal lobe cerebral seizures,
mm-hmm.
That they have linked closest to, or at least somebody experiencing that particular type of seizure, one could possibly think this motherfucker's possessed.
Right.
They are screaming. They seem to be out of their mind. They're hallucinating. They're flipping and flopping all over the fucking place. They also, where was I going with that?
I don't know.
Oh, they've also been known to slip into where they'll take like a pen.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the exact name of the disorder, but it's like the constant of writing all over, you know, your body, whether it be with a pen, whether it be with your nail, mm-hmm. And you just scratch into to where your skin welts up. That's apparently what this boy was doing. Now, his mother claimed she saw that shit firsthand. She saw it appear. Like, she's watching him, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like a Friday or a Nightmare on Elm Street or something.
Right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing.
No. So, again, I'm calling bullshit, too. Allegedly, during the litany of the saints portion of the exorcism ritual, the boy's mattress began to shake. All right. Again, bullshit. Moreover, Roland broke Halloran's nose during the process. That is probably the first shred of fucking truth that I can mm-hmm. believe. And the reason is, in this particular type of seizure that can be mistaken for somebody possessed by the fucking devil, they're swinging.
Right.
You get too fucking close, you try to restrain them, and they get loose, they're swinging. Yeah, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's good right there. Now we're getting somewhere. Halloran told a reporter that after the rite was over, the anonymous subject of the exorcism went on to lead a rather ordinary life.
Yep.
Actually was doing pretty good. What was he, what they say he actually did? Wasn't he working within a church or something?
Mm-mm.
No? Well, what the hell was it? I can't remember.
I think it was something with science.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Go figure. Now here's where it gets interesting. All right. Author Mark Opsasnik questioned many of the supernatural claims associated with this story, proposing that Roland Doe was simply a spoiled, disturbed bully who threw deliberate temper tantrums to get attention or get out of school. I happen to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Opsasnik reports that Halloran, who was present at the exorcism, never heard the boy's voice change. And he thought the boy merely mimicked Latin words he heard clergymen say rather than gaining a sudden ability to speak Latin. Okay, so he's just mimicking them. A lot of people say, well, look, you know, this person never knew Latin. Now it's like, yeah, you know, and, right. And just comes out of nowhere. No, that didn't happen here. He also reported that when marks were found on the boy's body, Halloran failed to check the boy's fingernails to see if he had made any marks or if the marks were made by himself. Upset, he also questioned the story of Hughes' attempt to exorcise the boy and his subsequent injury, saying he couldn't find any evidence that such an episode had actually occurred, that being the bedspring cut arm.
Right.
So, during his investigation, Mr. Mark O. discovered, one, the exorcism did not take place at 3210 Bunker Hill Road in Mount Rainier, Maryland. The boy never lived in Mount Rainier. The boy's home was in Cottage City, Maryland. Mm-hmm. Much of the commonly accepted information about this story is based on hearsay. It's not documented and was never fact-checked. Okay? There's no evidence Father E. Halbert Hughes visited the boy's home. Had he admitted to Georgetown University, requested that the boy be restrained at the hospital, attempted an exorcism of the boy at Georgetown Hospital, or was injured by the boy during an exorcism or at any other time. So, and then there's ample evidence refuting claims that Father Hughes suffered an emotional breakdown and disappeared from the Cottage City community. According to Obsasnik, individuals connected to this incident were influenced by their own specializations. Okay. So basically, if you are a priest, you are specialized in the clergy and in the church. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts and opinions and versions and of what happened and what was the cause is going to go by that thinking.
Right.
If you were, I don't know, a cop, you would have thought the boy was on dope. Where are you hiding the drugs at, kid?
Yeah.
Now, to psychiatrist Rob Doe, which he's also known by, suffered from mental illness. To priests, this was a case of demonic possession. To writers and film video producers, this was a great story to exploit for profit. Those involved saw what they were trained to see. Each purported to look at the facts, but just the opposite was true. In actuality, they manipulated the facts and emphasized information that fit their own agendas. Mm-hmm. I think that is where this story needs to end. I mean, because it goes a little more into it, but I think that's the whole basis for this. Because mm-hmm. all of a sudden, as they're doing their final exorcism on Roland, Robbie Doe. Robbie all of a sudden says something like, you know, I am, you know, Michael, Saint Michael, and
yeah,
you know, I demand you, Satan, you know, leave this boy alone, get out of my body or whatever, and actually expel Satan himself.
Yeah,
the priests aren't doing it. They're just sitting there. they baptized him. They threw some fucking holy water on him and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said a bunch of prayers. He exercised himself.
Yep.
That's the most amazing part after of this fucking story.
After they fed him a wafer.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Unfucking believable. So, based on, because these are the only two. And luckily we only picked two stories because, you know, pretty much it ate up our time. These are the two, I think, most known, well-known stories of real life exorcisms, which again I call bullshit. I you know, there are some weird things you know, with the Annalise,
right?
But you know, there was some contradicting, you know, things going on there too. One person said she had, you know, no signs of physical injury. Another person, a priest, you know, turn around saying, no, so you had two fucking black eyes, her fucking cheek was swollen, her face was sunken in. What the fuck? What are you not right? looking at? Who are you looking at? So, I mean, from total, you know, different sides, you know, ends of the spectrum there. But both interesting stories. I don't know. Let us know what you fuckers think.
Yep.
Are, you know, exorcists, are they just like snake oil salesman?
Might be.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this just could be. You know, you're just typical, just, you know, trying to sell a religion. You know, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. selling their belief by telling you, you know, demon begone.
Yeah.
Right. Let us know what you think. NightLivingDreads.com. Spotify, Stitcher.
Did you forget there for a minute?
I did. Night Living Dreads on Facebook. Let us know what you think.
Age or group?
What?
Age or group?
Both.
Are we on both?
That's right. Page and group. Don't forget to check out our good friend Chiller the Clown. Chiller presents Carnival of Souls and TrueCrime7.store.com. Talk to you next week.
No one knows. We're going to die.